Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You are here with All Things Sports, Big Mike, C. Miller. Week two of our little show that we're trying to put together. Going to cover some NFL, maybe later on down the line, a little college basketball starting this week. But we're going to start off, C. Miller, what games caught your eye this weekend and just passed it?
Oh, man, well, I got to say, the first game that caught my eye was the Monday night game, Aaron Rodgers going down, which is going to change some things in the NFC North.
I'm not sad.
No, nor am I. But I heard today he's only going to be out about 3 to 4 weeks, but that's, I think, just some time to play the Lions. So that worked out for me. I also, another thing that I noticed was Cleveland over Baltimore, the defending champs going down. It's going to look like an uphill climb for them to get back to the playoffs this year. I don't know. That's about it was a good week of football with some good games. Nick Foles 7 touchdowns. That definitely caught my eye. As far as, there just wasn't a lot of stuff that I wasn't on the edge of my seat this weekend by any means. I think, Carolina's starting to climb the ladder as far as playoff teams look. What about you?
Well, I was going to ask you the question. You brought this up last week, and now it bears kind of repeating. You're asking, should the Bears pay all that money for Cutler? What caught my eye is how well McCown's played in his offense the last 2 weeks. It kind of almost makes you think, and I watch every Bears game, he's looked better in this offense than Cutler has the last 2 weeks. Granted, it's a small sample size, but when you talk about paying franchise quarterback money, if you have a system in place and your backup's running the system better, do you really want to pay all that money for Jay Cutler? That's actually what caught my eye. Secondly, having a top-notch backup in this league is key. I know Seneca Wallace has played a little bit, with Seattle and a little bit with Cleveland, but that offense looks so much different when Rodgers was out. Granted, he's one of the elite, but I don't know if the running game is a lot better than it has been in the past, but I don't know how good that team can play or how far that team can go if he is out for any extended period of time. If he's only out 3 weeks, maybe they can get it back, but I can't see that team doing anything worthwhile without him playing.
Well, let me ask you this, too. I think I don't know if you've seen the report with Jay Cutler announcing that he was going to play next week against the Lions, and they came out today and said that may not be the case, but do you think that he's feeling that you just mentioned?
Obviously, I shouldn't say obviously because I don't know him, but he's got to be. McCown makes throws, like he was accurate. He gave his receivers a chance to make plays. He gets the ball like that touchdown in the corner to Jeffries. He got the ball up high both times. One time he got it up high where only Jefferson can get it. He didn't connect the second time. You know, when you got big guys like that, you got to get the ball up. And he didn't seem to be afraid to make any throw. Like, Jay Cutler, you see him in the pocket, he pats the ball, then he throws it. McCown was getting it out of his hand. And I think that's why the line even looks better with McCown playing, because he's getting the ball out of his hand. Now, as far as, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say McCown's the future or anything, or McCown's, going to be our quarterback pass, this week or next week. But, yeah, I think Cutler's got to be feeling the heat a little bit, and I think the offense needs to look the same with Cutler as it has with McCown, I think he's going to lose some money.
And you definitely have to be careful with these one-week wonders. I kind of think the same with Nick Foles. I mean, if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, you've got to be real high on Foles right now, and you've kind of seen some ups and downs. He's had a couple good games, and he's also had one really bad game where he was concussed, but he didn't look good there. So, you gotta be careful. Kind of transitioning into next week's games, kind of looking ahead here. We first got to start off by we got Detroit going into Chicago. What do you have as a prediction there, and do you see McCown playing well in another week?
I don't see why not, especially at home against not the. You know more about Detroit's defense than I do, obviously, but that defense isn't great. I mean, they're susceptible to give up some points. I don't see why. Yeah, I think McCown will play well. I think the Bears' defense actually played better last night than I've seen them play all year. If they can keep that going, Peanut Tillman could stay healthy. We're supposed to get Briggs back. Obviously, I like the Bears.
Well, as far as the Lions' defense, I got to argue that it's a little bit better than Green Bay's defense. We're better up front. We're definitely better up front. We're better at linebacker, I would say, right now with Clay Matthews out. And defensive secondary-wise, the Lions have been much improved. So Josh McCown, I think that was a flash in the pan more so than him being part of Chapman's offense and having the right.
He played really good the week before against the Redskins as well. They put up 41 points in that game. And he played more than half of it.
Well, that being true, I just don't see it. We'll see. You gotta give me more than just a game and a half.
Agreed.
To be on the front lines, and I don't think Cutler plays this week. I think, like you said, he's still in the heat. So, he's not gonna play.
One thing we need to cover, if we're going to cover NFL, we probably need to get into this. The big story of the week, obviously, is the bully of Incognito, Martin. Some players have been coming out saying that Martin didn't handle it correctly. He should have kind of there's a lot of players supporting Incognito, saying that, you know, Martin should have handled it more like a man instead of just leaving and telling the coaches. Like I was telling you off air, I don't particularly understand bullying, so maybe you could talk more to it than I do, because I don't want to sound callous in what I say. What do you think about this controversy, and is it even really as big a story as people making it?
Well, I've been back and forth with this. When I first seen it, I tend to side with Martin, and you definitely can leave the team. I mean, I feel like he should have stood up to him, but I think as more and more comes out, it really looked like the whole team was kind of supporting Incognito, and I think he was in a tough situation where I can't speak to that either. I mean, would I, if I'm in Jonathan Martin's shoes, if I'm him, would I leave the team? Would I run and tell my parents? Would I? Those aren't the way that I would handle that. So I can't say. But if the whole team is against you, and you're really, I mean, he's been putting up, they got all these text messages and voicemails date back to April and, you know, the off season and last year, I'm sure, as Martin was a rookie last year, so I'm sure he put up with it all last season. So it's not like we're kind of just seeing the end result where this has been happening for almost 2 years, you could say. So, it's a tough situation for me because I think Incognito is obviously, they're labeling him as a bully. I think he's obviously that, but, there's ways to deal with bullies and it's just the whole support of the team just didn't seem to be there, which that's kind of where the issue is for me, because once it becomes a team thing, you can't have that. I mean, you can't have a guy where apparently this guy's an emotional breakdown point. There's got to be people on the team that someone else should have stood up to Incognito if this guy wasn't capable of doing so, and it didn't seem like that happened, so... I think Martin did, I guess, what he thought he had to do. I don't know. I don't want to hear from Martin. You know, I think there's so much more to come out because, why is he doing this? Is he trying to sue? Is he trying to, I don't know why he's handling it the way he's handling it either. So I don't really think either party looks good. And then I don't think the Miami organization, from the players to the coaches to the general manager, which is Jeff Ireland out there, I don't think any of them look good right now. So I gotta hold my tongue a little bit on what's still to come out because there's just so much more to this story. I don't really have a good grasp on exactly what happened because for Martin just to react the way he reacted, there has to be a lot more than even what we're hearing right now. I know they're on ESPN. They're saying, "Oh, this is so horrible. We can't read this on TV." And granted, it's wrong, but as for people that have been, I've been part of a college football team as a young kid. I was a water boy and part-time equipment manager, and man, I know the language I heard. Football is a different animal. So, for anyone to say this language is just so bad, and that's something where those guys talk to each other like that all the time. So, there's a lot more to the story, in my opinion.
I agree, actually, with you wholeheartedly. I think that, you know, me, I told you off air that I don't understand bullying to the point where I don't understand why, you know. And I don't know, Martin. I know some people have a weaker mentality than others. But and I'm not saying I'm a tough guy, but for the most part, like, hey, you know, I leave me alone. Like, stop talking to me. Like, if you don't stop talking to me, I'm going to punch you in the face. I mean, I know that might be making it too simple. Maybe that makes me sound callous. I just don't understand how it gets to this point. Like, I don't understand how, as an adult, it gets to this point. But that being said, once it gets outside the locker room, it's an issue. Now it's an issue for, like you said, the general manager, the coach, players in that locker room, how much they, you know, chimed in, how much they helped, how much the coach knew, how much the GM knew. It's kind of almost like, I can't think of the movie, but, you know, who ordered the code red? Like,
oh, yeah. He's a good man.
Yeah, so this could go all the way up the chain. Like, you don't know how high this goes, how. So my whole thing is, do you think, is this bad enough to where Incognito doesn't play anymore? Like, obviously not going to play for the Dolphins, but who has a better shot of getting another job, like Incognito or Martin? Because in a lot of our locker rooms, people are looking at Martin like, I don't want that guy on my team because he's weak. So who has, in your opinion, who has a better shot to get another job going forward?
Wow, that's a good point. You know what? I gotta go with Incognito just because he's a better player, and I think in the NFL talent rules off. And I think as long as there's no criminal charges, because I'm sure you heard the report where there was a trip to Las Vegas where Jonathan Martin was made to pay $15,000 and he didn't go on the trip. So, you know, as long as the criminal charges stay out of it and things where Roger Goodell doesn't have to step in, I gotta imagine Incognito's got a little bit better chance because. I think for Martin to do what he did, he may, like you said, he had to have thought it out. He has to be thinking that he may not play in the league again. And that's why I said he may be trying to sue and kind of just maybe trying to set up a different life for himself because I don't think either one of them can go back to the Dolphins for sure. And Incognito is a Pro Bowler last year. He's supremely talented. I mean, I kind of see some stats on him yesterday when I was first looking at the situation. He grades out as a top five guard in the NFL. I mean, he doesn't give up sacks. He's blocked for some big run games. I don't have him here in front of me, but he's blocked for I think two or three 200 yard rushers, single game rushers. So I definitely got to think Incognito. If he stays out of criminal trouble, then he's going to be given another.
But I agree with Incognito as well, just because for him to have he has to be talented. For him to have as much baggage and continue to get jobs, that, you know, the league, like you said, talent wins out. Like, the league has to be seeing something in him that, you know, shows it. Like if you know, as many bad offensive lines as there are in the league, I think it's a no-brainer that Incognito gets another job first. And I think that a guy like Martin, like you said, football's a different animal. That culture's a different animal. Like, a guy like Martin doesn't grade out well in the NFL locker room. Like, weakness in the NFL locker room, no matter what it looks like, does not look good.
Well, I think if anyone's seen Cameron Wake's interview, he seemed to, you know, he was basically calling Jonathan Martin weak as well. He's saying there's a rite of passage. You need to be able to put up with that. And, you know, so, yeah, Jonathan Martin, it'll be interesting to hear from him and hear exactly what happened. And I'm sure everything won't ever come out, but his football career definitely looks in jeopardy. And then I think also with that, do you think Joe Philbin's coaching job is in jeopardy?
It depends on how much more of this comes out. Like, how much, you know, if there's a history of, like, you know, this is Joe. I can't expect Joe Philbin to monitor or to police text messages and phone calls. But if it comes out that a lot of this was going on at the team facility, in locker rooms and, you know, in meeting rooms, and coaches look the other way, then, yeah, I think Philbin's in trouble. As long as most of the bullying stays outside of the facility, as much as we know it actually stays outside of the facility, I think Philbin will be fine. But I think the bottom line is, you know, he's not an established enough coach to beat too many charges. Like, if this happens in New England, you know, Belichick will come out and do a press conference, say we took care of it, and it will probably go away. But because he's not, you know, that kind of coach or, you know, charismatic enough coach to kind of beat this up, I think he might be in a little trouble.
Yeah, I think he's in a little trouble, too, I think, from a press conference I've seen. He looks nervous, and I think more is going to come out. So it'll be interesting to see here in the coming weeks. It's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to filter through the locker room. You're going to have individual players that are going to speak more. And then, of course, just with Martin himself, I think more and more is going to come out. So it'll be something that we'll be able to look for here in the coming weeks, definitely.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break here on All Things Sports. We'll come back. We'll probably get into our power rankings a little bit. A lot of the teams that we like took a hit this week, so I'm sure what we think, our power rankings are going to change a little bit. So bear with us. We'll be back.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Who are you? Who are you?
Hi, Mom. It's me.
For 25 years, with the help of people like you, the Alzheimer's Association has focused on preventing, treating, and finding a cure for Alzheimer's disease. To help, visit www.alz.org.
www.alz.org.
All right, we're back here on All Things Sports. Like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about our power rankings. One would think that we didn't know what we were talking about, since every team that we seemed to like last week took a hit. The Saints actually didn't look horrible. Drew Brees put up a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns, but they ended up losing to the Jets. The Jets, typical Rex Ryan team, ground and pound, played good defense, didn't let the quarterback do too much, ended up winning that game. My man over here was pretty high on the Bengals, and then they went out Thursday night and laid a big egg. I was also pretty high. I'll take pretty high on the Seahawks, and they gave up 1 million yards rushing again and also got behind and had to come back against the winless Bucks. So out of those three teams that I just mentioned, which of those teams do you think is in the most trouble?
Well, I would say this. I think the loss for New Orleans is it really hurts, because now they're a game behind Seattle for home field advantage, and I think I touched on that last week. New Orleans needs to play at home to get to the Super Bowl, and I really thought they had a good chance to do so. I definitely didn't see the loss to the Jets coming, and I think that exposes them, because they just look night and day on the road as opposed to home. So I think that they took a big hit, and I know Seattle they played well in the second half, but the first half they looked terrible, and I think that scares me. But at the same time, Seattle's one of those teams where they're going to be there the entire year with their defense. They have a quarterback that's really smart. So what happened for my power rankings? You didn't mention Indianapolis. They also struggled. I know they were on power rankings, and I watched quite a bit of that game. And even though that they struggled so badly, I actually have Indianapolis moving into my top five this week. So I have Indianapolis at five. I have my Bengals. I have them now at four. The Geno Atkins injury was a tough one.
Yeah, that's major.
That one's going to be tough to come back from. I don't think that ends their season, nor does it change my Super Bowl prediction. But they've got to find someone to fill his shoes, number one. And they've got to find a way to get – offensively, they look great. I think they're a team that's getting bit by injuries. You've had Leon Hall. I'm not sure his status. I've heard he's out for the season, but they haven't put him on IR yet. So you have an injury there. They just lost Taylor Mays for the season. They just lost Geno Atkins for the season. So they're going to have to circle the wagons there. Going on to number three, I think we got to have San Fran in there. They were off last week, so we haven't really talked about them. I think you have Mario Manningham. He's due back this week, and then it was announced today that Michael Crabtree can begin practicing today. So that's going to have some weapons for Colin Kaepernick, which he desperately needs. They've had a hard time throwing the ball this year. I know a lot of fantasy owners have kind of felt that, and, you know, that kind of goes along with Tom Brady, because I think if anyone definitely moved up the power rankings, I think it's New England. They're sitting at 7-2. I still don't have him in my top five. I think there's a lot of holes there. They have a lot of injuries as well. So I'm not ready to put them in my top five. And then to finish out my power rankings, I got New Orleans, and then I got Seattle at the top. So that's where I'm at with my rankings.
So Denver?
Oh, you're right. I left Denver out of there. Wow. I guess a week off. You know what? It comes back to, man, I'll tell you what. I want to keep it like I want to keep it like I left it. I'll put Indianapolis ahead of Denver, and I'll keep Denver at six. I just don't like Denver. I think they're exposable on defense, and I think Peyton Manning in the cold weather is not good. So
we're still not respecting KC.
Still not respecting KC. I got them at about 12 in my power rankings.
Whoa.
So. Yeah, KC will watch when they play Denver, and like I said, I don't even have Denver that high, and Denver's going to beat them by 10-plus points.
Whoa. Well, I don't have KC in my top five either, but top 12? All right, well, I'm kind of like you. I got New Orleans actually at five. I like them. I agree with you. I think that if you can get that team out the dome in a little cold weather, they're in trouble. I got Indy at four. I actually like Indy a lot. Lux, actually, you know, even a lot better than I thought he would be at this point. He might be right on the verge of getting into that elite class. And at three, I got the Seahawks. I haven't won last week. I am a little taken back by how many yards rushing they're giving up to bad teams, and actually – you know, they even loaded up the box on the Bucks and still got gashed a little bit, so I'm not as high on them. The Niners moved all the way up to two without even playing. I actually like the Niners a lot because I like the formula of defense, running the football, play action passing. I just, kind of like you said, they need more weapons in the passing game to really be elite. And then number one, I actually have Denver. I know you said you're not high on them. I agree with you. If they don't get, like, once it starts getting cold, I don't like Peyton Manning outside in cold weather. But, you know, right now, offensively, they look better than anybody else, and they're scoring enough points to where their deficiency on defense hasn't, or at least to this point, hasn't been that big of a problem. So I left off KC, too. They're probably in my top seven. I like them a little better than you do. Just defensively, I think that team's tough, but you're right, they haven't played anybody. That offense is very limited, and I think when you start to get down to the point where you need a drive to win the game, I can't see a situation where Alex Smith is the guy, and I know that's your boy, but he's not going to be the guy to lead them down the field for a win.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to put Denver on upset alert this week. They go into San Diego, and I think that's a losable game for Denver, so... So we'll see. It'll be it's interesting with these power rankings, the teams going up and down. I gotta stick with Seattle. The thing is with Seattle, I'm a little surprised to hear you say that. What about you're playing Tampa Bay? I mean, I think that's human nature to be a little bit complacent. I feel like they probably felt like they were gonna walk in there and win that game, and it took them a half to wake up. And I don't think that's indicative of who they really are. So that's why. For me, I still move Seattle up because I think they're the best defense. And as long as Russell Okung comes back, the offensive line is real strong as well. So I think you got to look at offensive and defensive lines. And Seattle for me is just the top team in the NFL right now.
When's he supposed to be back, do you know?
You know what, I don't have, as far as I don't have a report, I know they said 8 games when he first went out, and we're getting close to that right now.
Right.
So, and I really haven't heard much of an update as far as, hey, Russell Okung's coming back at this time. So it may be longer, and then they may just, it may be a thing where they're kind of just playing it off where they know it's going to be longer. So yeah, that is going to be a big deal. And then, you know, as far as up-and-coming teams, Carolina, the defense looks real impressive. Another good win for them. Cam seems to be back to rookie form as far as, you know, throwing the ball and running the ball. And I think that's a team to look, you know, they've definitely entered the top 10. And, I mean, I joke and I say Kansas City's 12, but if Kansas City played Carolina, who would you like? I mean,
I'd like Carolina, actually.
Right. So I think there's a lot of teams that are better than Kansas City. So to even say that they're top 7, I just don't see it. I mean, I think Vegas knows this. Vegas is getting hurt on Kansas City because Kansas City is only being favored by 4 and 5 points every week.
Right.
And they are covering those spreads to their credit. But I think Vegas knows. Kansas City is just – they're just not playing anyone. I don't know if you know this. They played – 4 or 5 backup quarterbacks in a row.
Yeah.
And we just talked about that. Most NFL teams don't have a quarterback that's second string that can really play. So,
right, you can't afford to pay him.
We'll see. Kansas City is going to get exposed as their schedule toughens up, and they're definitely going to be a one and done in the playoffs.
No, I agree. I can see them very easily losing to San Diego. Then they, I don't know if they go to Denver or Denver comes to them, but I can see them losing 2 games in a row easily. So, and, you know, I think they have another week, and then they play Denver again, so.
And I think they have San Diego in between, so.
Yeah, they could very easily lose the next 3 games, and we won't even be talking about them anymore. But that Carolina call, like, I agree 100%. I watch it probably more because of fantasy than anything, but I've been watching a lot of Carolina this year. Cam does look like he did in his rookie year. I think they finally kind of catered that offense more, like, to what he does well. Like, he does a lot of play-action passing. There's a few more quarterback runs in there than there was earlier in the year. And, I mean, I think, personally, like, out of all the young quarterbacks, other than Andrew Luck, he's my favorite. He's the one I would take over. I would even take him over Russell Wilson. I know everyone's hot on Russell Wilson, but I think there's Andrew Luck, and then there's Cam is number 2 for me.
Do you think that Ron Rivera holds Cam back any at all?
I think, you could put it on Rivera. I guess he's the head coach. I was going to put it on the offensive coordinator. But, yeah, I think that if there's any – I think we talked about this briefly last week. If there's any quarterback that you can put the running game on his shoulders a little bit, it is Cam because he is so big and strong and he doesn't get hurt. But I think, you know, earlier in the year, you had Terrell Pryor get hurt, you had Vic get hurt, you had all these guys who were running, these running quarterbacks getting hurt. I think they took a little bit of that out of their offense, and now they're finally starting to put it back in.
Right, and you've also seen that in San Francisco with Kaepernick. It's funny how the NFL is always constantly changing, because now you got these guys, Foles is another one where, you know, take care of the ball, stay in the pocket. Now we're hearing that after last year where the read option was the big thing and Colin Kaepernick and, you know, so, you know, the revolving door continues. So
right.
We'll see.
Any other up-and-coming teams you like that you can think of?
Well, the Dallas Cowboys are not one of them, I'll tell you that much. But, you know, don't sleep on my Detroit Lions. I know we're not a defensive juggernaut, but we got a tough test this week against the Bears. If we win that, our schedule definitely opens up to where we can win that division and maybe have a week off and then have someone have to come to Detroit or another one of those teams, as many NFL teams are, where it's tough to come to our home and beat us. So not that it sounds like a homer pick, but I think the Detroit Lions are a sleeper.
What do you think about if obviously Chip Kelly can say what he wants. Foles is going to keep that job. Would you agree with that? Foles is probably going to keep that job, barring injury, unless he goes out and just lays a big egg. But that's probably his job to lose at this point.
I think it's his job to lose, and I think, like you said, he's capable of going out there and laying an egg. We've seen it once already. I think for various reasons he's going to hold that job. I know I've heard some reports where Michael Vick stands to make a lot of money depending on snaps taken and games started and things like that, where the NFL is always a business. So I think if they can keep Vick out of there and save a few million dollars and Foles is producing the way he's producing, I definitely think it's Foles' job to lose. But I wouldn't be surprised if he lost it. I know he just threw 7 touchdowns and he's on top of the world right now. But he's not an NFL great. I don't think he's a long-term solution. I mean, we've seen Matt Flynn do it. We've seen Kevin Call do it. We've seen all these guys that have had 1, 2, 3 weeks of greatness, and that doesn't necessarily translate into being a head signal caller and a franchise quarterback.
I guess the thing that probably, I don't know if frustrates me is the right word, but if the Eagles can get some stability out of that position, I don't know how good they could be, but that division is bad. I don't think the Redskins are going to get any better. I don't think the Redskins are going to catch them. I don't think the Giants have a chance to catch them. I think if they can get some stability out of the quarterback position, and maybe this is because I hate the Cowboys, I think they're the only team with a realistic shot to actually catch them in the division. So I would like to see, whether it be Foles or Vic, just get some stability out of that position. They got playmakers. Like you said, I think me and you talked the other day, maybe Riley Cooper's better than we thought he was. He looks like he could be the real deal at wide receiver. We already know DeSean Jackson. Selleck is a good tight end. I think that's really the only position on offense that they need a stabilizer figure, and if they can get that, I think they can challenge the Cowboys. Because the Cowboys aren't going to – we've seen in the past, they're not running away from anybody. So they'll be there to be had. So – I think more or less, I really like the Eagles as a potential up and coming team.
Right, and I think we're going to see. I mean, if you kind of do some prognostication looking forward, I think that Dallas will lose this week. They got to go into New Orleans Sunday Night Football, like we just talked about. New Orleans is almost unbeatable at home, and then you have Philadelphia, who's going to catch a lucky break. They go into Green Bay and face Seneca Wallace. So I think. Yeah, I think after this week you're going to have Philadelphia and Dallas sitting at 5-5, and I'm right there with you, Big Mike. I think that Philadelphia wins that division. It may be with a record of 8-8. It's kind of looking like the NFC West of a few years ago. But Dallas, to me, I've watched Dallas this week a lot. I was stuck at work, and that was the national TV game, so that's really all I had. So I was able to watch a lot of that Dallas game. And they suck on both sides of the ball. I know they have a lot of talent on offense. There's obviously, we talked about it last week with Dez and Witten and Romo, and there's someone's unhappy. I mean, you give DeMarco Murray 9 carries. The team had 9 carries. I think Murray had 7. They're poorly coached. They're terrible on defense, and they're bad on offense. So I think Philadelphia runs them down as well. So. To all the Eagle fans out there, go Eagles.
All right. We're going to take a real quick break. We'll get back, and we'll talk more to you on All Things Sports.
Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something, and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game.
Pew, pew.
Wait.
Wait. Mom, what?
Huh?
What?
Hold on.
What'd you say? Wait a second, what?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm
Welcome back to All Things Sports. You're here with C. Miller and Big Mike. We just talked about some NFL. If you guys got anything out there listening, if anyone is listening, go ahead and give us a call if you want to talk NFL. We're going to transition right now into some college football, which is really going to be the first time that we've discussed college football in length. Start off with the good matchups of the week and kind of what we expect. We got some big Thursday matchups this week. Stanford, actually Oregon going into Stanford. Also, we have Oklahoma going to Baylor, and that'll be Baylor's first chance to play somebody good. And then I think probably the other best matchup this week, which is always a good matchup, is LSU going into Tuscaloosa and playing Alabama. Mike, let's start with that Stanford and Oregon. What do you see in that game? I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that.
I like Oregon, but I like Oregon against Stanford every year, and a lot, you know, they let me down. So I like that offense. I've watched a few Oregon games. They look explosive. They look like sometimes even unstoppable. I could see that offense potentially just wearing them down. Like, you know, maybe it's 14 or 14 at half, and then, you know, it's kind of like medicine. You just keep applying, and eventually it starts working. And I think that's what happens in the Oregon-Stanford game. As far as the Alabama game.
Well, hold on for a second. Let me jump in there on that Oregon-Stanford. I have a totally different viewpoint on that game. I think Stanford wins the game outright. I know it's an 11-point spread in Las Vegas. I think Stanford is just – they're the team that's set up to beat Oregon. They have NFL pass rushers all across the front line. The games I've seen in Oregon, I think Mariota struggles with pass rush. I think you put the guys in his face, he's going to struggle. Then you have, I think there's pros in that secondary, too, and I think they're going to be able to cover. I think Oregon's guys, while they're, you know, talented and have a lot of speed, I see it a low-scoring affair, and I think Stanford's better in a game like that. So, you know, it's real simple for me. I think Stanford gets them outright. So I can't join you on that one. I think Oregon is going to lose, and then, you know, ultimately that's kind of getting ahead of myself, but I think that's going to set up an Alabama-Florida State national championship. Unless you can see LSU doing the same thing, I think Stanford's going to do and pull the ultimate upset.
I actually, and maybe I'm, I think maybe I'm picking with what I want to see. I really want to see a Oregon-Alabama national championship. Totally, because you know, the SEC, they get on my nerves. I want to see someone take them down. I can't see Florida State beating Alabama. I can see Oregon beating Alabama. Stanford wouldn't get the chance. And Ohio State, if they got in there, I don't think they could beat Alabama. So maybe I'm just rooting for an SEC fall. But back to Oregon and Stanford, I agree with you about, you know, defensively, I think they are set up, and I think they're purposely set up to stop teams like Oregon. However, I think Mariota right now is playing on a whole different level than he did last year. He looks the part. He looks like the best quarterback I've seen in college this year. And that offense, I can't see anybody shutting them down for four quarters. I said that last year, however, and Stanford shut them down for four quarters. So, I mean, it's possible, but I just can't see it happening this year. They look too good, too fast. Mariota looks too capable. I got Oregon. Probably about two touchdowns.
Wow, yeah, we're going to have to, you know, we'll do it off air. We're definitely going to have to put something on that one because I really believe Stanford wins this week. It's a feeling I have, and I know that sometimes that doesn't work out, but I think I just think Stanford is – their defense is supremely talented. And really, they're not being given enough credit. I was surprised to see that number so high. I thought it would maybe be a touchdown with Oregon going on the road.
I didn't think Vegas would have it that high, so I am surprised to see the number that high. However, I think Oregon might cover that.
All right, well, we'll definitely get a bet on that. You know, and I think college, too, I think people tend to forget every single year, all these undefeateds tend to fall at the end of the year. It's just the way the schedule plays out. You start getting a little bit beat up, and upsets happen. And I think this week, just with the Thursday games, I think that's when you're going to start seeing it. So we'll see. Alabama, they're going to be tough. I'm with you. I would like to see the SEC dominance in, too. But I kind of disagree with you. I think Florida State has a chance, maybe not a great chance, but I think with the mobile quarterback, we've seen where that defense can be shredded by the likes of Johnny Manziel a couple years in a row. So I think with Jameis Winston, as many weapons as he has, I think Florida State could give them a little bit of a run, and I think Florida State is going to run the table just because their schedule is so soft. So get Oregon out of the way. You know, I used to be an Oregon fan and different things like that, but from what I've seen of Oregon, you know, more than just, you know, personal feelings, I just don't think they're as good as ESPN or all these ratings say that they are. From the watching that I've done, you know, I'm with you on Mariota. I think Mariota is going to be a good pro and different things like that. But I just don't see Oregon running the table this year.
I will say this about Oregon, and I'll say this also in the way it looks to me like about Florida State. I think a big physical football team could take Oregon down, like a Stanford. If they're going to lose to somebody, it's going to be a team that really gets physical, beats them up. Because, you know, they don't get hit a lot in that offense. Like, I was kind of watching a breakdown of that offense. A lot of that offense is based on trickery where they, you know, their line kind of makes a lot of blocks where they're kind of tricking the guys, got them going one way, get them going back the other way. They're not a physical team, so I think a physical team can beat them. And I think the same thing about Florida State. Like, Florida State, they have a lot of speed. Like you said, a lot of playmakers, but I think a good physical team can beat them too. And if Alabama's anything, they're usually pretty physical. So in a matchup, I see Alabama beating both of those teams. I just think out of those two teams, Oregon has a better shot at taking down that beast that is Alabama every year. So hopefully, I guess hopefully we get the game I want. If Ohio State gets in it, it's going to be blowout city.
Yeah, I agree there. Ohio State just doesn't have the defense, I don't think, to compete with Alabama. I think Florida State, Ohio State's going to play either Oregon, Florida State, or Alabama. They'll play one of the three, and, you know, just if you're for all those bettors out there, go ahead and put your money on the opposite side of Ohio State because I don't think they're going to do it.
What do you think, Steve? But next year we get all four of them. That'd be obviously, well, if they all went out, you'd say that'd be a top four team. So next year we'll get it'll be Alabama against Ohio State and then Oregon against
Florida State.
Florida State, right.
Right, and that's just overall, that's a great thing for college football, just adding that extra game. I think that's a step in the right direction and getting away from the BCS because, you know, you need a little bit of a playoff, and I understand the college football season so long as is, and, you know, they're supposedly student-athletes, so, you know, you can't do a full-out playoff. I know people have mentioned 16 teams or an 8-team. I'm actually happy with the 4-team because in college, there's not 8 teams that really, or 16 for that matter, that need to play. And, you know, of course there would be upsets just like in the NFL playoffs or NBA playoffs. I understand that. But there's only two or three teams every year that can really win the national championship.
Agreed.
So I think the 4-team is a positive thing. And, I would, like you said, I wish it was here this year because that would set up to be real nice.
Well, Baylor, Oklahoma, what you got?
I got Baylor. I think they haven't played anybody. And, you know, they put up some impressive numbers. But from what I've seen from Oklahoma, I think their defense, I know it's highly rated, but I think their defense is, you know, they can be gotten. So
right.
I think Baylor, I mean, if I had to put a prediction on that, I'd have to go Baylor 45, Oklahoma 35.
Obviously that game is going to be a shootout. I have Baylor as well. I think Baylor is actually going to blow them out by a little more than 10. As far as Alabama, LSU, who you got?
I think these two teams, they don't like each other. I think LSU is going to play well. I could see LSU having a lead going into halftime. The spread on that is 11.5, but I think as far as the prediction, I'd have to go Alabama 28, LSU 24. Close game. Mettenberger is a good quarterback. He's proven that this year. That LSU defense maybe isn't what it has been in the past few years. They're a little young on the defensive line. They've lost so many pros in the last 3 or 4 years. Not that Alabama doesn't, but I think Alabama's reloaded a little bit better. And I would be scared if Alabama had to go into Baton Rouge, but I think with the game being at home in Alabama, I think Bama finds a way to win. But I think it's going to be close. I think Bama could be beaten. I just, you know, they're at home. I think it lines up right for them. So I don't think this is the week. I really was hoping earlier in the year that Texas A&M would get them, and that didn't materialize. Texas A&M's defense is like Swiss cheese. I mean, they're cold right. everywhere. So.
I like Bama as well. I hate to keep agreeing with you. I guess we do have a disagreement on Oregon and Stanford, and we probably need to get a few, maybe a dub down on that. But I agree with you on Alabama. I think you're right. They were talking about how many DBs from the last few years from LSU and the pros. Like, I think they've lost too much to really be able to, like, not shouldn't be able to compete, but to really be elite in college football, you can't just keep losing pros like that every year and still be elite. So I think that Alabama wins that game. I think it's actually 28-24 sounds about right. Maybe they'll score a little. I think Alabama might score a little, few more points than that. But it will be close, but I think it's Alabama at the end of it. So that's our college football talk. We're going to take another quick break, and we're going to end the show with a little miscellaneous, a little opinion, and we'll go from there. So give us a few minutes, and we'll be back here on All Things Sports.
You might know me. I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in a 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger's too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Who are you? Who are you?
Hi, Mom. It's me.
For 25 years, with the help of people like you, the Alzheimer's Association has focused on preventing, treating, and finding a cure for Alzheimer's disease. To help, visit www.alz.org.
www.alz.org.
Welcome back to All Things Sports. Big Mike, C. Miller. We got about 10 minutes worth of show left. This is just my thing. I wanted to touch a little bit on college basketball starting this week. Got Oregon and Georgetown later on in the week and a couple games on Fox. That's my big thing. I love college basketball more so than the NBA. Also, C. Miller won't give me credit on this, but or maybe he will, but when it comes to betting college basketball in Vegas, I'm kind of a master at it. I did use the word master. I'm pretty good, so I usually win a little money on it, so I think that's why I like it even more. But things I'm interested to see, once again, Kentucky has the best recruiting class again. They got like the top out of the ESPN top 100. They got like the top three of the top five picks again this year. So they're number one. I think Duke's number three. U of A looks to be pretty good. They're in the top five. As far as the Pac-10 goes, since we're out this way, Oregon looks pretty good. UCLA probably won't be as good. Looking forward to seeing teams. Looking forward to seeing Kentucky. You know, you can get all that talent, but how do they gel? Kind of like last year, they didn't gel, and that team turned out to actually be pretty bad. I'm looking forward to seeing U of A. I'm looking forward to seeing that kid, not necessarily Duke, but I'm looking forward to seeing how good that Jabari Parker kid is for Duke. So anything you are you into college basketball, Millie? Anything you want to see, anything you like to see?
Yeah, I'm on board with you there. I think we both agree the college basketball is a little bit more, number one, fun to bet on, fun to watch, more so than the NBA. But, you know, I look at this kid, Andrew Wiggins. I know that's a big talk. I'm interested to see what he does. I don't know. You know, we've heard he's the next kind of maybe a guy since LeBron where he's just a can't-miss guy. I don't know that I necessarily see that with him. He is going to be the number one pick, so, you know, I'm interested to see him play out there with Bill Self. They should be able to run the table in the Big 12. You know, some side team. I haven't really looked too much at the schedule. I'm with you. You know, we'll kind of watch these opening games and kind of see what happens. Trying to remember back to last year who had a good team. I know I just seen something about Aaron Kraft is back for Ohio State, and I feel like he's been playing for Ohio State for about 7 years now. I couldn't believe he wasn't a senior last year.
No kidding.
But the Ohio State always seems to recruit, so I'm sure they'll be around.
Everybody's back for Michigan State. They got all their guys back. They'll probably be pretty good. Those are probably the top two teams in the big. They still called the Big Ten.
Yeah, they still called the Big Ten, even though they're carrying 12.
Yeah.
And then also Indiana's in there too with Tom Crean.
Right.
He seemed like he's able to turn that around a little bit. I know they lost. Who was it? I know they lost their big kid.
They lost Zeller.
Zeller to the NBA. So I know they lost him, but I'm sure they'll be able to reload a little bit. You know, Memphis always seems, I know they got Josh Pastner out there. They seem to always be able to reload and are always talented. They're a top 25 team. I don't know that they're going to challenge for a national championship, but they'll be around. And like you mentioned Georgetown, so we'll see. It'll be interesting to see. I haven't really done my research. I got to be honest. It's kind of somewhere I'm just going to watch, and I'll probably have a little bit more information as
right.
The season goes along.
Yeah, I haven't done my – I hear this kid I don't know his name. Kentucky has a big guy, they said, who might actually challenge Wiggins to be the number one pick. I can't think of his name. I saw him play a little bit. Physically, he looks like – it's funny to watch some college basketball. Him and Wiggins physically look like grown men playing with these guys. So that would be interesting to see. And we'll see if Calipari can bring it again. We all know what kind of recruiter he is. No matter whether you can coach him up, make him look good, and get him in the finals again, will be interesting. That's my little college basketball take. Moving on, Miller, looking forward this week. Anything you're looking at, anything you want to talk about, anything you want to give your own little personal rant about?
Yeah, I got a little personal rant for you. I kind of just wanted to expound upon what I said about Oregon. I think if they don't lose this week, which, like I said, I'm predicting that they do lose, I think my bold prediction is that they lose to ASU in the Pac-12 championship.
Wow.
I think ASU, I've been very impressed with in the past few weeks. I think offensively and defensively, I've been out here in Phoenix for about 7-8 years, and this is the best team ASU's had since I've been here. I think they're a team to watch, and I think they're going to win the Pac-12 South. And if Oregon's able to get past Stanford, I think ASU beats Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. So I think, like you said, you're rooting for Oregon to play Alabama, and I think regardless of anything, I don't think Oregon's going to make it this year. I've watched Oregon. I got to question your Oregon knowledge, honestly, because I don't see the talent on defense to go undefeated, really. I think if their offense bogs down at all, I think they're going to get beat because, really, I don't think they can hold anyone under 35 that has a good quarterback and has a good offense. You know, they're a lot like Baylor in that they really haven't played anybody. I know they've scheduled Tennessee and Virginia, and, I mean, they've been blowing out some teams, but those are bad teams anyway. So yeah, that's kind of my bold prediction. I'm passionate about that this week. Oregon, you know, you're so high on Oregon. We hadn't talked off air, and I just don't see Oregon doing it. And then as far as with my NFL stuff going into this week, I know we didn't get a chance to mention anything fantasy-wise. I think Phillip Rivers has a huge week this week against that Denver defense, and my other bold prediction is San Diego upsets Denver minus the coach. Maybe their minds are elsewhere, and I think San Diego pulls an upset out down south. So those are my bold predictions for the week going in. We'll be able to talk next week, and maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but we'll find out.
Maybe you don't. You're probably somewhere right on my Oregon knowledge. I probably don't have as much knowledge of the situation as you do. However, the few games I've watched, you're right. They're not world beaters on defense. However, I think that offense is good enough, or that defense is good enough. Teams down from, you know, that offense is going to score points, and I think that defense is good enough to keep the other team from scoring as many points as that offense is going to score. So that's kind of what I'm banking on. You're right. A lot of times these games kind of boil down to who has a better defense, but I don't really think this is going to be the case with Oregon. I think that offense, to me, you're right, they haven't really played anybody great, but that offense looked to me to be unstoppable. And while I agree with the fact that this is the best ASU team I've seen probably since the 90s,
they're good on defense.
They are good on defense. I like Sutton. I like the, what's the kid, Bradford, the linebacker. They are good on defense. However, maybe my trumpet is just trumpeting Oregon too much, but I can't see them beat. I do think they're going to win the Pac-12 South, but I can't see them beating Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. My personal rant is going to kind of go in a different direction. Like I said earlier, I don't really understand the culture of bullying. I don't really understand how it works. I don't really understand how, I've heard of people getting bullied in the workplace. I know it happens, and I'm not trying to poo-poo it, but, this might not be the most popular thing I've ever said, but I'm not saying what the Incognito did was right or correct or something that should be done. I'm in no means defending his behavior. However, I will say I do agree with a few of the players I've heard talk. If you're an adult and you're in the workplace and someone is attempting to bully you, there's other ways to handle that situation than just leave your job. Maybe you feel powerless. Maybe you feel like you don't really have a way to go about it. But, at some point, if you don't stand up for yourself, you're going to spend the rest of your life dealing with bullies. And I don't know Jonathan Martin. I don't know his ideas. I don't know his politics. I don't know anything about him. But I think if he had just stood up for himself and told Incognito to leave him alone, Miami would still have the right side of their offensive line, and we wouldn't be hearing about any of this.
No, I mean, do you think Incognito would have really left him alone?
I don't know if he'd really left him alone, but one thing I do know about bullies is a lot of times if they're real bullies, they don't want to fight anybody. They don't want to, like...
They prey on the weak.
They prey on the weak. There was something in his DNA that let Incognito know that he could run him off the team, and he did so. And I think that I'm not saying, I'm not condoning violence, but once you stand up to a bully, usually, at the very least, it slows down. Because no bully really wants that hassle. So he wants to, there's a reason why they pick certain people to pick on. And he obviously had something about him that showed Incognito that he wouldn't fight back, and he didn't. And maybe that's my way of saying, if anyone's listening, if you feel you're being bullied, I'm not condoning violence, but, you got to stand up for yourself.
Stand up for yourself.
If you don't stand up for yourself, it's gonna happen. That's going to happen to you your whole life. That's my rant.
Sounds good. Hey, I got a question for you, a one-word answer.
All right.
Does Miami win this week?
Who they got?
Tampa Bay.
No.
I'm in agreement there. One more question.
Right on the cusp of winning the game, and I think that's one that's prime for them to win.
This is another question I have. Just I don't know why I'm thinking about it right now, but it's a little off the map. Does Roger Federer win another major?
No.
Does Tiger Woods win another major?
Yes.
I hope not.
I'm a Tiger dude, so I'm gonna say yes just because
I love to cheer against Tiger.
The talent is there. That's all mental. That's 100% mental. The talent is still there. He just he'll win two tournaments leading up to a major and then go into a major and bomb. That's between the ears. So if he can get whatever that is between his ears right, I think he'll be fine.
All right.
Well, we got about 30 seconds left, so we want to thank anybody who's out there listening. We appreciate it. We're still getting our feet wet here. We're still trying to get things going right, so bear with us. Hopefully, if you're listening, you'll come back. And if you are listening, tell your friends. This is All Things Sports. Big Mike, Steve Miller, thank you for your time, and we'll see you next week.
Signing off.